This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson along with Randy Conan, and we'll also be hearing a report from our own Don Wick. But first, we begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by the North Dakota Mill, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Amity Technology. Rock and Roll Agronomy owner Jason Hansen shares a review of this year's soybean harvest.
Soybeans were awesome this year. I would say they didn't start out that great because we were so cold for so long that our stems were not what we're used to seeing, but we had plenty of moisture during the season, and soybeans will compensate for themselves fairly well. So we had yields this year that were probably one of our biggest soybean crops we've had in a while. Heard a lot of, you know, low 40s all the way to low 50s for yields. And yields would be even higher if we hadn't had all the drowned out from all that moisture. But it also gave us the yield that we were looking for.
The corn also turned out well.
The moisture we had this spring right off the bat probably established the best stands. I knew we would have great potential. We just got some heat, and it took a long time for it to come. But from mid-August through October, it delivered. So our corn yields were actually really good. I mean, other than drowned out, I've had people say, yeah, our corn went from zero to 240 bushel. And most of this area is a 79 to 83-day corn. So bushels have been really decent. Guys have been really happy with corn.
And in the Grace City, North Dakota area, Justin Topp expects to finish harvest today or tomorrow.
We got backed up on room, so we kind of had to shut down just at the last 5-10% of harvest. We decided we weren't going to pile it on the ground and didn't want to clean out Quonset, so we waited for some room at the elevator, and hopefully today or tomorrow we'll wrap up the last 5% or so.
Yields have been better than expected.
I was really concerned early on with the, just the drowned out, the amount of water we had early on in the season. I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out, but the good areas of the fields have definitely outweighed the drowned out spot. So yeah, overall, it's just been a phenomenal yield all the way through harvest. The dry beans were again the same, better than expected with the drowned out, and all the way through soybeans and corn. So it's not going to be a record, I don't think, but it's going to be darn close. And it was it's kind of nice to harvest a lot of corn under 20 moisture.
Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology.
The Minnesota AgriGrowth Council's Ag and Food Summit is underway in Minneapolis. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has more.
Cheryl Meschke with us, Chair of AgriGrowth, the annual meeting going on today, the Minnesota Ag and Food Summit going on. Cheryl, let's talk about it. For those that aren't familiar with the organization itself, tell me what AgriGrowth really is all about.
AgriGrowth is really one of the very few organizations nationally that brings together every player in agriculture, from the individual farmer operations to agribusiness to those in academia who may impact agriculture.
Really, for the whole scope. And today you've got a very large audience for the program we have for this summit.
We have upwards of 400 registered to be here today, and the program is very rich. We are really pleased to have President Cunningham, the new University of Minnesota leader, coming to address us, as well as very trendy topics on aviation fuel. We have Michael Swanson from Wells Fargo, who is just, again, a very sought-after speaker on economics. It'll be a day to remember.
When we talk about this very diverse membership that we have, what are the issues? What brings them all together?
What brings them together is the platform of the agricultural industry. Think about the footprint it has here. We talk about big business. Agriculture is big and small, all in one room here. So they are looking at policies, they're looking at regulation, they're looking at just all these things that can tie, once again, that individual farmer to the processor, to the seller.
Again, the Minnesota Ag and Food Summit underway as we speak in Minneapolis.
And that's our own Don Wick live from AgriGrowth in Minneapolis. Minnesota Soybean Growers Association President Darren Johnson says getting a farm bill finished is still a priority for the group, even though it might not happen this year.
My guess is probably not. No, just with an administration change, too many things are going to be happening. The can's going to get kicked down the road, so probably an extension. But we're going to get back to work out in D.C. As soon as we can. And if it does look like there is a possibility that it is going to happen in the lame duck session, we're going to get out there and certainly put some pressure on and try and get it done. But most importantly, we just want to keep them on the right path and make sure that that we're protecting crop insurance and keeping things in place that need to be in place to keep farmers farming into the coming years.
Johnson says some sort of assistance package is needed.
It's going to be a necessity, especially where we're at right now. You know, in Minnesota, from where I'm at, we had some pretty tough crops. Thank God for crop insurance. But as far as cost of production has increased dramatically, and that has skyrocketed where prices are well below our cost of production. We're going to have to try and figure out some way to bring that gap together. And yes, it's ad hoc or programs like that that we are going to have to try and implement to make sure that we are able to keep farmers, you know, on the farm.
Midwest, U.S. Midwest can expect regular rounds of rain over the next 2 weeks. That'll increase soil moisture and slow any remaining harvest activity. World Weather Incorporated says moisture conditions will improve for the winter wheat crop in the southern plains, while the northern plains will see rain and snow on Saturday and again next Tuesday.
Much of northern Brazil will see regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms over the next 2 weeks, while southern Brazil and Paraguay will not be as wet. World Weather Incorporated says much of southern Brazil will dry down, but current soil moisture and timely rain should ensure good crop development. Argentina will see more sunshine than rain over the next 2 weeks, with one round of timely rain Saturday into Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Combis Sell and Associates Managing Partner Tom Sell says there is great need for a disaster assistance program and the Farm Bill this year.
There's a significant appetite, really, from the 23 and 24 crop years to do as was done in the 17 through 22 timeframe, a kind of an ad hoc disaster package. And folks are really seeing that as a potential bridge to get to the Farm Bill. There's also, you know, there's a lot of concerns about people just lining up financing for the 25 crop year as crop prices are still projected to be very low. And so I think you're going to see a lot of emphasis on getting this done. And I know from conversations with presumably the incoming chairman now of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman, there just seems to be a higher level of priority on getting these things done. He wants to clear the deck.
Getting the Farm Bill and assistance packages complete during the lame duck will give the new Congress a clean slate to start with in 2025.
There's a lot of big issues for the next Congress, the new Congress that will be seated, and of course the new administration, to focus on other really big-ticket issues like tax reform and trying to address our nation's ballooning deficit and accumulated debt of our nation. So there's big-ticket items on the docket for Congress the next time, and I think there's going to be a renewed focus, particularly now kind of knowing what the future looks like and getting the decks cleared for that next Congress. Among the kind of clearing the decks priorities is certainly something to address the economic situation in rural America.
With tighter finances this year, AgVice soil scientist John Brecker says soil sampling can help farmers decide which fertilizer inputs to cut back on or not. Higher nitrate levels is a common theme that Brecker has seen so far.
When we got into some of the canola acres, dry bean acres, and into the corn acres later, actually the amount of nitrate left over has been higher than expected. And I think that's in part due to the very warm July, August, and also September that helped foster some good nitrogen mineralization from organic matter. And as a result, we've had some just incredible crop yields considering the very late spring start, and we're seeing that reflect in some of these soil nitrogen numbers. We have really good weather, at least looking for the next two-ish weeks. You know, no snow or major freezes in the forecast yet. Don't wait. Go ahead and get those numbers collected now so that way you can make the best fertilizer decisions over this upcoming winter.
And Brecker says there is flexibility for fertility inputs if you've been building up the profile in recent years.
In our fertilizer recommendations, we do give producers the option to go either way. If they want to have a more university sufficiency rate to provide just the required fertility for this given crop year, or if they're looking to build soil test levels into that high range. And for producers who have historically been building soil test levels, this might be one of the years where they start to, you know, withdraw some of those investments out of the soil fertility bank, if you will. And so for people who do have some higher soil test levels, this gives them quite a bit of flexibility. On the flip side, for people who have low or medium soil test levels, thinking about P and K primarily, they, you know, are still going to need to apply that required fertility to ensure a good high-yielding crop for next year.
Rains brought widespread improvement to drought in the Midwest, with full category improvements across much of Missouri, most of Iowa, and Wisconsin. Drought eased in central Minnesota. However, moderate drought expanded in western Minnesota. Severe and extreme drought expanded in western North Dakota, western South Dakota, and eastern Montana. Moderate drought expanded in central South Dakota.
Grain traders will be watching the Federal Reserve's interest rate move later today. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifried says Friday's supply and demand report will also be a focus.
Normally, we don't really expect much from November WASDE report. November and then certainly December, we kind of feel like those are pretty benign until we get to the January report. But this time, I think there is, reason to be interested in this November report because of the fact that we have kind of different results from what we had at beginning of harvest versus what we had at the end of harvest. And specifically for soybeans, at the end of harvest, those later harvested, i.e. later planted beans, did not do nearly as well.
The Swine Health Information Center, the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research, and the Pork Checkoff are working together to fund a $4 million research program. Focus will be on prevention, mitigation, and response capabilities for H5N1 in the U.S. swine herd. USDA reported the first case of the virus in a pig on a small Oregon backyard farm. The animal was not in commercial operation, but this confirmation increases the concern for the U.S. swine industry. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Aberdeen livestock owner Kevin Larson says the cattle industry is looking good if the prices can hold for a while.
Yeah, it, we just need it to stay healthy here. I mean, we need these prices, and well, we will see a little bit of rebuilding. I don't think we're going to see a big deal, but it's how many of these cows are going to be harvested. Is the price good enough? And what you're seeing, though, is a lot of these guys, I'm looking back through the last 5 years, and you're seeing guys that used to have 150 cows now are down to 50 or 40 or 30, lost pasture, you know, just a lot of different things. Or they just walked away with this, you know. I mean, the smaller guys just didn't have the money to stay in it. Or just got older and the prices got better, or they just got tired of it. But then again, you turn around and you sell a bunch of calves for a guy that has 800 cows.
Larson says the pounds of beef being produced is changing the fat cattle markets.
You know, our numbers haven't changed that much. What's really, really, really changed is these guys feeding these cattle big. They'll buy 1,300-1,400 pounds. You know, fat cattle, two-way cattle, and feed them to 1,600 pounds. I mean, you think about that. They're putting 400 or 500 pounds on, you know, now with corn a lot cheaper, and that's putting a lot of pounds on the market. You know, that beef on dairy and that right there has changed the face of this fat cattle market. I mean, it has. And believe me, you get down into that Kansas, western Nebraska was through there a couple weeks ago. It is absolutely mind-boggling the amount of cattle that are in that part of the world.
December wheat Minneapolis down 3¾ to 601¾. December wheat Chicago down 3½ cents, 569¾. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat contracts down 6¾ cents, 567¼. December corn up 0¼ cents, 426½. January soybeans up 18¾ cents to 1022½. In Winnipeg, January canola is up $10.50 per metric ton at $6.58.10 Canadian. December live cattle up 30 cents, 185.70. November feeders down 22 cents, 247.47. December lean hogs down 67 cents at 81.45. This is the Red River Farm Network.